Well, I decided that I'm going to start a little series, and I called it Gates to Glory. And I didn't tell Christopher what to sing this morning, though we spoke, we sang, we worshiped with songs of life. I hope you were thinking as you were singing those words. I'm going to give you a little hint when the sermon's almost over this morning. How'd you like that? You okay with that, young ladies? Having a clue when the sermon's almost over? Is that good, Madison? Kind of good? Yeah, I kind of like that too. So hopefully we won't be here for an hour and a half. But when you find out that we're going to Psalm 24, you know we're almost done, okay? But with that means I need your help. So for a little housekeeping, maybe before we get started, who has a New King James Version with you? Raise your hands high, because I need to know, because you need to. We don't have an overhead, and I was really regretting it this morning. Who has it on their cell phones? You young guys don't have the New King James Version on your cell phones. You need to have it on your cell. Whoever thought I'd say that, right? We need cell phones here this morning. We don't have very many copies, and I only have 10 or 15. That said, again, who has a New King James Version in some description this morning? One on this bench, none on that bench, none on that bench, one on that bench, couple there. Boy, we're kind of sad. Okay, no worries. We'll figure that out somehow. I have some, and maybe Ben is going to be brave, and he's going to find, make sure there's, so you can share. Like, I think, Colin, you have one, right? Colin's going to share maybe one up here, just kind of spread them out, and you're going to help me. Gates to glory, or maybe it's gates to greater glory, because this morning we live in the new covenant, and if you're a child of God, you're under the new covenant, and within your heart, God has written his laws, and the pure, blessed are the pure in heart. Oh, just a second, Ben. Let me grab one of those so I know what I'm doing. Teachers tend to like having small tests, so while he's doing that, please be forward and say, I don't have one, and he can give one to a couple. We, in the Bible study this morning, we were studying out of, what were we studying this morning? One or two, or one word, two words, a sentence. What was the study, Bible study on this morning up here? On mercy. Okay, thank you. Last Sunday, what was the message on? Last Sunday, the Bible study was also in the Beatitudes. Some different ones. What was the message on last Sunday? Ray? Pain. Okay. How about the Sunday before that? The Holy Spirit, was it? Who had that message? I thought it was something else. So maybe I'm wrong, and I could be. And I'll tell you, sometimes you're playing into my hand a little bit without me trying, but sometimes I get confused. Who had the message two Sundays ago? Clarence. Okay. Who had it three Sundays ago? Now we're getting technical. Okay, well, let's say the main message. What was the main message about, Ray? Now you're stuck. Can you remember? Okay, what was it about, Jonathan? I can tell you what I remember of it, if that's helpful. Would you like that rather, or would you like to say? Okay, I heard that we need a revelation, and he gave about 4 points. Okay, so we are remembering some things, but in our life sometimes we have confusion. Now, this is just for when we get to Psalm 24. Okay, I knew to bring my own marker, but I forgot. Let's try another one. Okay. For those who are anyone who goes to the youth group and lower, that's what that means, okay? Verse 4. Hopefully we're going to see this, verse 5 through 6. I'll take that one. Now this is going to be hard to read. From back there, maybe. And the last verse, verse 10. I'm going to need you to pay attention, so if you fall asleep during the message, I'll have to wake you up for this, okay? Verse 10. And we're going to use these people, the young ladies. I have a name in there, but we're going to use young ladies instead. Oh, sorry. And you're going to just read the question. Is that clear? You might even want to get your Bible out right now just so you have it correct. The young ladies, it's the very last verse. And then 10b is everyone. Loudly. Okay. Shall we? Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. He is the Son of God, and we confess him as our Lord God, our Lord and Savior. Thank you this morning that you want us to come into your presence, and we come boldly this morning, desiring, Father, that the dryness of our life would be dried up, rather there'd be life there, even as we've experienced some this morning, some more this morning, some of that wonderful life of Jesus Christ as we've worshiped and we've looked at the Bible. Father, sometimes maybe we get stuck, I don't know, but may your grace be with us and help us to be inspired. And amen. Okay, is the gate open? Is my question this morning. Gates to greater glory. Is the gate open? And maybe this morning's message I could have used at the very end of my little series here, or the few times I want to speak. But I hope we can remember this. I hope we'll remember the gist of the message so that when we get digging into some other things that aren't quite as pleasant, and there's going to be a message or two that isn't going to be as pleasant. I've trembled as I looked at it, and yet I see it in God's Word, and I think we need some clarity from God's Word, and His Word is clear, and I also believe He wants to give us the greater glory. I think our Lord and Savior wants to be Lord and Master of our lives, and He wants us to live in the joyful presence. Psalm 24 is the joyful presence of David coming into the temple. There was no temple, actually. He was bringing the ark, a significant picture of the presence of God in the Old Covenant. And God wants us to live in His presence. And I want you to live in His presence, but God does more than I do. Gates sometimes let us in, let us have some access. Gates also sometimes shut us out, and for good things. I think of you farmers. You have a gate there because you want to keep, let's say, a rabid animal walking around your yard. You're glad there's a gate or a door, some kind of bars there that don't let that animal in. Have you ever felt confused? That's a question that I've looked at in my own life. I have gone through periods in my own life of confusion. And the story, I think, this morning that we're going to look at in the Old Testament is one where a man of God walked in confusion, and from that confusion, he did what we generally do. There are some principles that happen when we enter in to state a state of confusion. So how can Christians walk and be confused? I think the moment we see ourselves quabbling and arguing with an argumentative spirit, we probably have some confusion there. And if we don't have, maybe we just don't have honesty. God wants us to have not just confusion in our life, but clarity. And he wants to bring us to clarity. And David was a man after God's own heart. And there was a time in his life where he was confused. There are a few principles here I'm going to be looking at, and they look like this. Confusion. Then there's presumption. There was a man in the story we're going to look at who presumed upon the grace of God. Sometimes we can look at, and Christianity looks at things very, very lightly. They take sin lightly. They take the presence of God lightly. They take lightly. They take important things lightly, and we know in the world, we understand in the world, it makes sense in our minds where in this world people are calling good evil and evil things are calling good. But in the church of Christ, sometimes, can I say, and you might dare me to say, you might say, how can you, are you sure? Maybe you're, how can it be true that we would walk in confusion? To presumption, and then after the reaction of the man in our story, of David in our story, was anger. And from anger, he went to a state of fear, great fear, fear before God. But he ended up in blessing and gladness and restoration. Sometimes confusion is at the gate, is at the very gate to greater understanding, I think. And I might set aside my own experience if it were not for this example in God's Word. I've seen it in my own life, though. Confusion is at the gate of great understanding. Generally, confusion does this. It's not of God. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion." So it's not of God. It's not of God, but sometimes God's children remind us. Sometimes God's children have confusion. We know that there is an enemy. Satan tries to confuse us, as he did in Genesis chapter 3 to the woman. He said, "Did God really say so?" Another one is that the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. So why God's children? Romans 5 verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He goes on to say, Paul, I believe in Romans, he says, if his death accomplished so much, how much more is the life of Christ going to accomplish in our lives? I don't really care for confusion. I remember how confusion works in my life. It's not a pleasant place to be, but I believe that the life of Christ can take us to something greater. One of the things that I would say in my own experience that it has caused me to do was to wonder. I wondered why. Maybe it seems very elementary, very basic, a very basic principle or concept, but it made me wonder why. And number two, it caused me to seek. And I hope number three, it causes us to ponder and act upon the little that we do know. And I don't think it's a question or it's not been a secret to us as a church. We've gone through some of those times, have we? Can we acknowledge that we've gone through some periods as a church and we're wondering, or haven't you done that? Has anybody here never been confused? You can see everything clearly, you just see things black and white. And I would say, from that experience, from the experience that we've, as we walk with as brothers, and sometimes at brothers' meetings we get fairly We attempt to be open with each other. I don't think it's easy. These things aren't easy. It's not easy to be honest, is it? It's very difficult to be honest. And I question myself as I think about confusion in my own heart over some of the issues that we talked about in the last 6 months at Brothers Meetings. We talked about a question. We had a questionnaire. Maybe that blunt. We had a questionnaire, and we got some action and reaction, and we started talking. We got to talking. And I want to clear some of that up, because if you were confused, so was I. And can I say this morning to everybody here, can you look at me, everybody? Can everyone look at me? Do you know that you're loved this morning? I'm not doing this because I don't love you. I'm not saying this because I think sometimes we need to take the thing that scares us the most and honestly look it in the face. I'm not going to open up that Pandora's box this morning, but I hope next time, because the next message I would like to speak to a great principle of overcoming it, overcoming our confusion. And you might be surprised where I've ended up. I've ended up with a burden on my heart, and it's really a message. I could give you the message. I could set every man down together. We could sit together and maybe work through it. But I want men and women, brothers and sisters, to consider it together. And I want you to have life. Above everything I say, brothers and sisters, I would like you to have life. And there is a place for life. David's confusion in 2 Samuel chapter 6. If you'd like to follow with me. Some things sometimes are worse than you think. But other things aren't as bad as you think. God's solutions aren't so that he's out to get us. God's not trying to get us. God's not trying to trick us into something false, into something so that he can say, aha, he's trying to bring us to greater life, to greater glory. David had just come through, and I can't tell for sure, and I would have had to ponder a lot longer. Maybe it's a Bible study, but it's also found in the Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapters 13 through 16. The same account is found that we find here with David, but it's some of the history is different. The victory that David had in Chronicles is after. The victory David had in 2 Samuel chapter 6 appears before, so I'm not exactly sure I know how, but I would say to us, have you ever gone through a time of great victory in your life where you are just praising the Lord, and that's what it's about, right? It's about having victory in Jesus. We're loving him, and that's where we're heading. By the grace of God, he's always victorious. There's never, but sometimes after great victories in our life, we become very susceptible to our own selves. Because maybe we forget that the victory wasn't our own selves, but maybe the victory was our Lord and the Lord of hosts, the captains of the armies of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe we forget. In this story, David had just, his throne had been established. Can you imagine how David felt? His throne was established. The people were behind him. He had his list of all his leaders, great, mighty men, and they were behind him. He had a great captain. God was blessing him, and it says in one of these stories, it just says that God's blessing was upon him. David was walking very confidently at this moment. He was walking and taking the kingdom. He had taken Jebus. He had created the city of David, which here it says is Jerusalem. In the New Testament, Jesus was born in the city of David, which was Bethlehem. But in here, his city, Jerusalem, he had gone up the hill and he had conquered. He was conquering. And you'll notice in verse 1 how many people at this moment were with David. There were many things that David did, but one thing David didn't have, and since the days of Saul, it says that they had not sought the Lord. The ark was sitting at someone else's house on a little hill, and his name, I think, was Abinadab's house. And there was a blessing there, and David had a good desire, I believe. He had the right desire, because it was after this, right after this whole account, he's like, I have everything. I have a house, a cedar. The king of Tyre had come in and sent him wood, and he built him a nice house. And David said, I have all this, but what about God? Shouldn't we be honoring God more? David's heart was in the right place. And I believe this morning, no matter where you or I are, I can believe maybe your heart's in the right place. Maybe you know that your heart's in the right place, but you're confused. Maybe you're not confused. Maybe you can see things clearly. God bless you. That's the goal. But even in the moments of my own confusion, I knew where my heart was at. But that didn't make it correct, did it? Just because I know that my heart's in the right, that doesn't mean that I was understanding it correctly or walking in the fullness of the Lord at that moment. But David's heart was, I believe, in the right place. And he went to Abinadab's house with the people of Judah. And it says there were 30,000 people with them. 30,000 people. You got to think you have it maybe right when you have 30,000 people coming with you, don't you think? 30,000 people were following David. David was their leader. David's a good leader. They followed him, and he was confident that he was going and doing the right thing. From Baal, Judah, they went to, up from there, the Ark of God, verse 2, chapter 6, in 2 Samuel, to bring up from there the Ark of God, whose name is called by the name. Do you remember the Jews wouldn't speak God's holy name? They would use the vowels, but they wouldn't speak his whole name. Who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. First of all, in the scriptures, if they looked into the law, had they opened up the law of God, they would have noticed that the ark was to be set not on a cart for oxen, but it was to be carried by the Levites, right? It was to be carried by the Levites. They were to stick poles through. And I think there was a reason for sticking the poles through. This was the presence of God. And that you don't play around with God's presence. And I don't think we do lightly in our own lives. The presence of God, the blessing of God in our life. They were to stick those poles through and not touch, but four men then could carry, or two, I'm not even sure, I think it was a number of them, could carry the ark with those poles. Things were going pretty good, it was moving. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. So, in front is Ahio, and behind is Uzzah. I would say this would be principle number one. And this was the confusion that had happened among the people of God. I think David, either he didn't know, nobody went to check, but they were confused at best. At the very best, they were confused. Or you could say they were totally rebellious, which I don't think they were. Or they were completely disobedient, which I don't think they were trying to be. And you know what? I think in our own walk with God as brothers and sisters, can we say that to each other? I'm guessing we could turn to each person here this morning and say, I trust your heart. My brother, my sister, if you love the Lord and we've been walking together these years, I know your heart. I know where you're at. I'm with you. But sometimes maybe we're like this. And then what happens was, and David was along, and all the house of Israel, they played music before the Lord and all kinds of instruments and fir wood on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. It was a loud and a noisy procession. It was a joyful procession. And when they came to Nachon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. You can imagine they're going along. They come to the threshing floor. Uzzah sticks out his hand because can't you see that the oxen have stumbled and the cart's going to fall on the floor? This was a sin of presumption. People who presume on the grace of God, they think they can do whatever they want. Uzzah thought he could do whatever, he could believe whatever he wanted, he could do whatever he wanted. He did whatever he felt like doing. He had no care to the holiness of God. There are some sins in our life, my friends, my brothers and sisters, we need to look at and take care of and not let them be there. We can't presume on the grace of God. If you know, and I know, we're heading into communion tonight, and I think if we would encourage ourselves right now that we would examine our hearts. Is there something in our hearts? Maybe it's a simple confession between you and God that's needed. Do you know how sometimes, I remember back in the day, in Moorfield days, we had a week of meetings. And the evangelist, for the first 3 days or nights or whatever it was, he spoke to us as a church. And then after that, it was open to the community. And I know we were dealing with our own hearts before God. And he said something significant, and he used the scriptures to prove it from the parable of the soils, or the parable of the seeds on the soils. And he said, do you want to live in that all the time? Do you want to live with a free, open, live in God's presence, live in his glory and his grace all the time, don't you? Sometimes we simply need to get on our knees and the confusion can go away. Maybe the presumption can go away, but we need to examine ourselves to see whether we are actually in the faith. Maybe the dryness, if you have any, hopefully you don't, but if you do, maybe the confusion, if you have any, hopefully you don't, maybe the confusion simply there because you're not willing, we're not willing, I'm not willing, I haven't been willing to look at an issue in my own life, my own heart. Then the anger of the Lord, watch this, the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his anger, and he died there by the ark of God. Pretty heavy-handed. This is God, though. This is God. This is God at work. You know, when we look at sin in a presumptuous light, when we presumptuously live our lives carelessly, we think the grace of God's going to cover it. We have God to reckon with. Yes, this is an old covenant story, but yes, God has never changed. And God, and there's principle, what's the number? Principle number 3. David, do you see what happened in David's life? In verse 8 it says, and David became angry because the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. Literally means an outburst. He felt like God had... But did you ever notice that in your life? You come into a time of... things aren't clear. You're desiring what's clear. Things aren't clear. And David here was desiring, I believe he desired the presence of God. He desired the blessing, the full blessing of God. But he saw what was happening. And in the flesh, his response in the flesh was simply, he got angry. Now, we're pretty civil and we're gracious to each other. Thank you. Maybe our anger isn't known by anybody, but in deep in our heart, we feel, just we see and we sense, we get angry that why? The question why where we just are simply angry over the issue. We hate the issue. We don't like the issue. We wish it weren't there, but we get angry. So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David, but David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. He stopped it off somewhere else. Seems like a response that we might do. He stopped it off at Obed's house. I'm just going to call him Obed for now, and you'll see Obed come up later in the story. Later in the story, Obed became the gatekeeper. David saw a life here that was being blessed to the Lord. What happens here now is he stops the ark off at Obed, and Obed's house gets blessed. For 3 months, it's sitting there. David was moving this thing, this Ark of the Covenant 15 kilometers, and now he's stopped it off at Obed's house. Obed gets blessed. You know, in the middle of all our confusion or my confusion, that's not stopping you from a blessing, okay? Never let where I'm at stop you from finding a blessing. Or me from vice versa in our lives. So sometimes we live with each other because God has placed it this way so that we see, I think so, that we see how much we need each other. Is that okay? Are you okay with that? Are you okay if your brother sitting or your sister sitting beside you might not always see things clearly like you know they should? Because I'm glad that when they're sitting beside me and I don't see something clearly, that they give me the same response. And so you have a blessing upon your life, and your blessing just caused David to desire that blessing. So David went up and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed to the with gladness. And then another principle here in David's life, he went from confusion, seeing presumption, to anger, to fear. He feared God. Oh, did I miss that? I did. I missed verse 9. Let me read verse 8 again. David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Outburst. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of God come to me?" So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David, but David took it aside into the house of Obed the Gittite. And the Lord blessed Obed, Edom, and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed, Edom, and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed, Edom, to the city of David with gladness. So it was then, these bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. And then the story goes on to say how David rejoiced before the Lord in great joy and went and took it into the city. And it seems like the gates had been lifted up and joy was restored. So we can go from confusion to joy, even as brothers and sisters, even as the children of God. For today, to be encouraged in this. Others have been in states of confusion, even presumption, and God's end is good. God's end is clarity, blessing, and joy to his children. So no matter what our experience is, and I can testify in my own life, I know that to be true. His word gives us pictures of principles so that we don't miss it. Others may, but who cares if I have his presence? Others may, but who cares? Sometimes we say those things. You know, we all make our choices. Every single one of us make our choices. We all make our choices, but we can't choose our consequences. Okay, we're going to go to Psalm 24, if you have Psalm 24. They had got these people, David. I don't know, I've kind of decided if David's one of my favorite people in the Bible or not because he's so down to earth. He's so much like me. Or maybe I wish in some ways I'd be more like him, or maybe I'm more like him than I think. I don't know. But he encourages me so much. Psalm 24. What we're going to do is when we read the every ones, I'd like you to stand up to read them. Can we do that? Psalm 24, verse 1 and 2. Let's stand. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Verse 3. Ladies? Young ladies, verse 4. Can you read verse 4 for me? Everyone, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Let's say that last verse together very loudly. Everyone together, last verse. The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Let's say that again. The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Okay, you may sit down. And this was done with music, 30,000 people strong. There was a chorus, there were soloists, and just a little recapitulating. I was worried, brothers and sisters, that you would misunderstand me. And maybe you still do. Maybe I made it confusing. So bear with me. I think it'll get clearer next time we're together. The blessing of great music and its power to prepare us to anything. This is the blessing of good music. Next time I'm going to actually start opening up the box. You know, the Pandora's box was just a mythical thing. It was from Greek mythology, and it was simply, in the old story, it was a jar. And they opened up the jar, and out came this bad stuff, and they blamed certain gender, and they could never get it back in. It reminds me of foam, that little foam insulation that you have in a can. Once you start squirting out, you're not getting it back in, are you? No. In other words, we say in modern terms, we open up a can of worms. But yes, but start. If you think I'm not affected nor confused, let's see next time. But start delving into how to live. I would like to start delving into how to live our lifestyle in the modern age today. We're going to see from that to a serious issue that we men must conquer and women are going to be here because I want them to understand and uplift our hands. I think men, if I could just back up to men, because I think I'm being a little confusing. I would like to talk specifically to men here next Sunday, next time actually. Because I think it needs to start there. Because our women generally have the desire. Our wives tend to have, and our young women tend to have the desire to seek after God. And our young men do too. But Satan's out there to wreck that. Satan has many ways to wreck that, and he's out there to wreck it. And he's specifically wrecking it in our generation. And I wonder, and if you're like me, I want to have more life. I want to have less dryness and more life. I want to have some answers to how can we live this life. And it's maybe not as, maybe you already think you know what I'm going to say next, and that's good. And if you're living in that, I doubt you're walking in dryness, actually. So I'd like us to live in his life in the fullest way possible. From that to how to deal with issues that don't go away. We need to have answers. And okay, so we have modern, man has modern issues. The children of God in modern day have our own issues. So how do we deal with them? I want to talk about that. Clean hands and a pure heart. Pure heart. We talked about the pure heart in Bible study this morning. Clean hands and a pure heart are simply our actions come from within the heart of our hearts, right? So what's happening on what we are actually doing in life is coming from deep down. But he says, who has clean hands and a pure heart? We need open access to the presence of the Father, and it has been opened by Jesus Christ. I hope today you can take courage, for he is here. We need not fear. We need not fear nor live in a state of continual confusion. Let's pray. Father, I think I attempted to do the best that I could, Father. I pray that you might comfort hearts. If I left greater confusion, Father, but I would desire that we would know your presence, that the gates would be open wide and the King of Glory would come in and fill our hearts with your presence, destroying the work of the enemy within the Church of Christ. Help us, Father, by your grace and wisdom to examine our own hearts and live in the joy of the blessing of a clean hands and a pure heart, to live in the blessing of the freedom that's in Christ, the life that's in him. Father, that's what I desire. Father, take away our discouragements, our confusions. Prepare us, Father, that we can understand, so we're not like always sitting in a place of anger, but rather we're restored into deep blessing and fullness of joy and praise. You bring us to that, and thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.